Yeah. See, it's the way your head comes back and forth and make you got some. Yeah.
Oh, she's saying it. Yeah. She wanted.
I think she do. Come on. You got it.
My name is C-Day, and I'm the best.
I have nothing.
All right.
Yeah, I'm ready. So welcome to Come Union Sundays, 5 p.m. with me, TK the Kid, my cousin, of course, E-Day.
What's up, everybody?
And we got a guest with us, Pioneer. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Retta couldn't be with us today, and y'all are still out. Send them some love from wherever you are, as we do. So let's get into it. E, what you got for us? Daily affirmations from E-Day.
Yes.
What you got?
Let's do it. All right, you guys ready?
We are.
Okay.
I am. Are you ready?
I'm sorry.
I'm speaking for both of us.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
Okay, let's get it.
All right.
Let's get it.
I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here and I am whole.
And yes, we are here, feeling all whole and shit.
That is my favorite part.
That's my favorite part. Is that one line or is that two lines?
Two lines.
I am here, period. I am whole,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
My favorite two lines.
It's a statement.
Yeah, like shit. Mm-hmm. I feel like I am here and I am whole says everything that was said right before it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Without having to say, it's the long story short, I am here and I am whole.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that shit is dope. You had a good one that
Thank
time.
Thank you.
E.
Thank
Bars!
You. I didn't know.
Bars!
I really didn't know. I was like, oh my gosh. When I said we should have a mantra, an affirmation, and you was like, you gonna write it? I'm like, oh no, you're the writer.
No.
You're the writer.
Obviously, we are all our writers.
I guess we are.
Gotta be.
I guess we are.
All right, so let's get into it. How was your week? What'd you do this week?
So, my week was good. For work, I had to move classrooms.
Okay.
So, we're getting ready for our camp that starts tomorrow. So, I thought that was gonna be like some like anxiety because I was moving from my comfortable classroom that I've been in for 5 years to another classroom just across the hall because we're adding a new group of kids.
Okay.
They're going to be in my room. So
the
I had
new
to,
group of kids are going to
yeah.
be in your room.
Mm-hmm.
Is this older, younger, or someone?
Older.
Okay.
Older. So these are some of my old Oaks who are now going to like first grade.
But this is just for the summer. So when you go back to the regular school year, you'll go back to being the oldest group. Oh,
right,
okay. I was going
right.
to say, how y'all going to work
Will
that
Will you
out?
Move your classroom back when you
yes.
go back to the... Okay, so this is just
yes.
temporary.
Just temporary, gotcha. Just for summer. But I still, at first, was like, no. Like, I've made this room me, and, like, it has, like, lots of things that say ebony, like
mm-hmm.
my African patterns
mm-hmm.
and my cloths and
right.
my... My
Did
mirrors,
you take all of that with
I
you?
Took all of that
okay.
with me because I was concerned about, like, what furniture am I taking? What blocks? Like, but
right.
we kind of have the same furniture. That's standard. It was the little things that made my class unique.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the plants,
right.
the lighting, the lamps, and stuff like that. So,
yeah, so you took all that.
I took all
so
of that.
So the new class feels like home.
Yes.
Does it feel like home?
It does.
Does it feel like any less home than the other home?
No.
Oh, wow. Then there you have
no,
it.
No, it's because I... And bringing me, and then when the kids come, it's just going to be what it needs to be. So, feels great.
All right. So, that's at work. What about
yeah,
at home? What
did
we do at home this week?
So, this week I had a pop-up shop.
Shit. Tell us about it.
Eyes for Days pop-up shop was the bomb.
The bomb.
I was a little worried because it was rainy,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
people don't like to come out in the rain.
I don't know why. They go everywhere else in the rain.
Yeah,
the club, work,
right.
et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So I was like, okay, should we cancel? Should we have a rain date? But I was like, look, we need to get these glasses sold. I don't want these, you know, just these boxes of glasses to just continue to be in the boxes. Like, people need to be able to rock these joints. Mm-hmm. So we just went forth and said, we'll bring it indoors. It was a small but powerful group of people mm-hmm. there on Friday night. And all the glasses sold.
Look at the go ye there for. Look at the go ye there for. Got that shit done.
Yeah, so we said, we're just going to do it.
Yeah.
And we're glad we did.
You did.
And people are rocking the shades and looking great in them.
Looking
so.
Looking fabulous. Absolutely fabulous in the shades.
Looking great.
I was hoping that you came in here with some shades from the pop-up so I could, like, show people. But, I just thought that you would have a pair of your shades on. It literally just happened.
Yeah, no, they're all gone.
They're all gone. Oh, yeah, because you were going to keep a pair that you didn't get to keep.
Right, yeah. Right.
It does happen.
Because they look better on you. They did.
Just happened to be them. That way.
Yeah, they. I was like, yeah.
Oh, you ain't bring yours in either?
Give me a whole new attitude. No, they're in my purse.
Oh, yeah, we definitely going to have to, like, show them what the...
They're in my purse.
The shades for days was given.
They give me everything I think I feel on the inside. I put them on the outside. And I come to the outside.
Yeah. So. Bringing all the attention to the face.
Oh, my.
Yeah. As if the face needs it. But right. Awesome, beautiful. Awesome, saw. Okay. All right. So what's up with you, Pioneer? How'd your week go?
Ooh, my week was trying. It was busy.
Okay.
My week actually taught me a lesson.
Okay. Lesson. Like to hear it?
My job is demanding.
Okay.
But I've noticed that my job likes to use me as the cleanup woman.
Okay. Mm.
They have made me stagnant.
Okay.
You know, every promotion I've applied for, I've qualified for, but then I've been told, oh, well, we need you here.
Right.
But we want you here. We want you here.
Right.
And I actually had a moment where I had to break down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A young lady who I applied for the position. I was told that I was better suited for where I was at. They gave her the position and then had me train her.
Keeps coming up.
Yes,
they literally had me train her, and since she's gotten another promotion, she sent me an IM and was like, hey, can you train my team now on what's happening? I've already cleared it with your manager. So there was no room in there for me to say yeah.
So good enough to teach them. But good not enough good to enough to be
but
him.
But not enough to move.
Fucking Nelson. That and happens. Nelson can be a woman, obviously, that because helps. Nelson has been a man the mm-hmm. last couple times. But Nelson finally becomes, does that make it like trans? When it, never mind. Continue.
It taught me that contentment or what you think is satisfaction can sometimes absolutely be a killer of mm-hmm. success. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's time for me to go. Okay. The end. So I got through it.
You did?
I did. Okay. I got through it. It made me make some tough decisions and take some hard looks at, you know, what I need to uh-huh. do moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. And I sucked it up and wiped my tears and mm-hmm. kept serving my patients. And then after that, I realized that come Monday morning, it's time for me to start doing something different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. All right. And then you ended your week at a pop-up that got you some banging-ass shades.
That got me some fabulous shades.
And then boom. And then boom.
Because if they're ever testing me, I can just stick them on and be like excuse me?
Pearl's Clutch.
Who are you talking to?
Pearl's Clutch. Pearl's Clutch. So, my week was pretty cool. Still working late and long, but that's a part of it. I knew it would be that way, so I'm just trying to get through the summer. Excited about what it's going to turn into, you know what I mean, in the long run and in the end. So, of course, for the joy set before me, but it's tiring. I do be exhausted. Sis be needing some rest, as you all saw this week. I got a little bit, though. Hopefully get a little bit today. But overall, the week was a good week. I mean, above and below, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm above the ground, mm-hmm. below the heavens.
Yeah.
I'll take it, you know what I'm saying, and keep on pushing and keep on striving. But definitely a challenging week, but getting through the week makes the week at ease for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I know I got to go back. I know I'm going to keep doing it. You know, I know I want to.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I'm always grateful that I have a job that I love to do. Mm. You know what I'm saying? On the contrary, right?
Right.
I have a job that I love to do. Mm-hmm. And because I love to do it, even with all of the hiccups and the hurdles, you know what I'm saying? I always show my game face for that reason. And I think I do it more not so much about the brand as much as it is about the people who are the pillars to the brand and what I know that they need personally and professionally. I spend most of my time being someone's therapist, either around personal things or professional things. So that's just me kind of being in my element every day anyway. And then just kind of masterminding all the fires and shit. That's just another thing that I just do well. So overall, I definitely get to play to my strengths. It just pulls a lot out. Sometimes I feel like John Coffey. That was his name, I think, from The Green Mile. So I feel like that at the end of it, you know what I'm saying, where I need to lay down and kind of just let all that shit go. But it's the job, and somebody got to do it, and that just happens to be me. So overall, not too bad of a week, but very tiring, I would have to say. You know what I mean?
With all that you pour out, you got to find time to pour back into yourself, for sure. Even if it is just a rest.
Little shit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad to be around people every day that kind of add to that. You know what I'm saying? That makes up the difference, you know, when you know the day ends with being in a safe place or like a loving place, a comforting place. It makes the difference than when I was in environments before where I was running from them through work only to be beat up at work to have to go back to the place that I was running from to work, you know what I mean? So not having to do that definitely is different. I've experienced times like this, like when I first got this role. I mean, when I first got the role back in 2017, that was like not the beginnings of the end, but that was as we were, you know, journeying down to separation and stuff like that. So dealing with all of that, at that time I was spending a lot of time at work, just, you know, around being away from the house. You know what I'm saying? And then it was a new role, a lot going on, not enough resources, not knowing the role. So it was a different kind of beast. You know what I mean? Now I'm fully equipped to do the job without the resources. You know what I'm saying? So that's still the same, but I know better how to manage it, you know, what to look out for, how to make up the shortages and rob Peter to pay Paul to make a lot of this shit make sense in the meantime. Which helps. And then, like I said, having, you know, my personal life much more intact, specifically myself, not necessarily all the things around me, but, you know, being here and being whole makes a huge difference when I go out into those kind of trenches.
Because you're there and
that I'm grounded. I'm taking the ground with me. You know what I'm saying? When I go there. So that definitely makes a super, super duper difference. I don't ever really process a lot of this shit till I'm sitting here and we talking about it.
For real.
All the shit just comes, you know. Like, I don't be thinking about it like that while I'm actually going through it. When I'm going through it, I'd be feeling tired as fuck. You know what I'm saying? But now, you know, it all kind of makes sense.
You can talk about it,
Oh, yeah. Look back on it and laugh. At the shit that don't be funny when you're going through that shit.
The fact that both of you, that I've noticed around your careers in general, you both have said, even in being tired, that you love what you do.
I do.
So I think that makes a huge
I think loving what you do. And here's the thing. I don't always feel appreciated doing what I love. So that's definitely not always a thing. I don't feel that I am always paid what I am worth doing what I love. So I have all of the things that every other person experiences at work. Only I love to do it. And that's the saving grace. But even though I had that time, you know, a few years back when I was working on the book, where I was willing to almost let go the job that I love because there was something I love more. As I was coming into the loving of myself more and loving other things that I wanted to do, there had to be a certain level of balance around all these things that I was going to love. And that was going to have to be at the bottom, just simply because I spoke about it at the launch about how, and people were talking about it a lot, and even still now, if I were to have died in that moment, heart attack, some shit from all the stress I was dealing with at work, before I was even cold, I would be posted. I would no longer be a person. I would be back to a position. You know what I'm saying? And at that moment, they would be backfilling me, and nobody would be backfilling me. You know what I'm saying? In my personal life and in my personal space. And so I just had to come to terms with that. And I was like, if I cannot get this book done, give myself the time I wanted, because I was big on my 10%. I was like, I should have my 10% first, which means I get 2.4 hours out of my day every day. Like, I really broke that shit down to a science of what I deserved for myself. And if that didn't allow, if doing what I needed to do for them didn't allow me to do what I needed to do for me, I was going to let them go. It was a choice I was just going to have to make. And it was hard to actually articulate that and say that out loud. Very scary thought. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because at that point, I had been with Coke for, 13 years, maybe? 14 years?
Wow.
So to be thinking that I would be walking away from something. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I was walking away from so many things I was used to. So it would just been another thing. It would have just felt like it was in alignment with the way my life was changing. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, God knows the desire of my heart, and I feel like I put that out. And that wasn't something that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. It was just something that I was willing to do. And I feel like that willingness was what really saved me as it related to that. And then all the shortages was made up. Things started to turn themselves around. But I don't think things did that. I think I just did that. Mm-hmm. I think I learned to prioritize and ABC things mm-hmm. As I continued to sit with them. And I just realized that the job is going to continue to move, mm-hmm. Not to downplay what it is that I do, but mm-hmm. if something is missed, no one's gonna die.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna do everything I can to keep this afloat, mm-hmm. Give it my all from here to here, in that time that I owe them. But then I'm gonna make sure I give myself the time that I owe me, and I'm not going to feel guilty about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna hold myself in contempt around it. And I think when I kind of let myself free from all of that bondage mm-hmm. around feeling like I needed to be everything they needed me to be, I think it just started to turn itself around.
So
I do think that one change kind of trickled into a lot of changes, and that made it easier for me to do this because I know that I have a limit and I know I have a boundary, mm-hmm. things that I didn't have before. Mm-hmm. And now I protect those things even at work. Whereas I did not have boundaries before at work. And it cost me a lot, honestly. I think that in a lot of ways it did contribute to some of the ways my life turned out. But I know better now, and so I do better now. Yeah, I know better now, so I do better. You know. But what about you? You love what you do, so.
I do.
Going back to kind of what she said.
I do love what I do, but sometimes it's frightening. Mm. Because if for some reason that there is no more kids to teach,
what happens?
What am I going to do?
Who am I? Who the fuck am I if I don't do what I'm doing every day and they don't need me to?
You know? So that's frightening sometimes to think about, like, if the school were to close down or, like, teaching is not the way it has been,
mm-hmm.
what else am I going to do? Because that is who I am. I am a teacher at heart.
Yep.
And
you're going to teach anywhere. And you teach every day. And you teach, like, outside of the building.
Right. But
what am I going to do?
What am I going to do?
And where am I going
to
go?
There is no more opportunities to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the answer?
You're still asking. I don't have it right today.
I think that I'm sorry, you got something?
Mm-mm, no.
I think that I have moments like that sometimes, but I think that, again, a lot of the things that I've been through has taught me to have less attachments, and so I think that I know whatever is supposed to be out there, that is just where I would just have to have an application of faith and say, well, something else I'm good, either I'm about to learn something new and love something new, mm-hmm. just in the blink of an eye. I feel like when I commit and I just go mm-hmm. wherever I'm supposed to go, mm-hmm. when I get there, everything I need is there. And but it is scary though. The thought of having to be different, doing something different and not absolutely knowing what that is. Cause I do feel like, with technology and as things continue to change, the business calls for way less people. So the model that we have is do more, two more, four more with less. Mm-hmm. The whole goal is to be able to touch and impact way more people and use the most limited amount of resources possible. But that's what we all doing. Mm-hmm. If we could do that in our homes, we would. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So it's a genius model. You know what I'm saying? Because then you got more stretch and stuff like that. But nonetheless, as, like I said, as technology progresses, you need, you know, there was a time where you go in the grocery store and there was nothing but cashiers mm-hmm. and baggers because you needed them.
Right.
And now you have self-checkout and all these. Now you got online shopping and people dropping shit off to you and stuff like that. So people not even going into the stores.
And you have virtual learning. Right. Which was not a thing. It was not a thing.
Yeah.
And it's still not a thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that should ever be a full out scale rundown model of a thing. No.
But if it happens to become that.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
I don't teach that way.
Right. It's very engaging and hands-on.
A lot of children don't learn that way,
and that would be a disservice.
An exchange of energy, you know, close on an exchange of energy. Yeah, I believe that the teachers, the parents, and the children have struggled tremendously around adapting. I think of all of the people who have had to adjust and adapt during this time, I think that those are the three. Mm-hmm. The parents, the teachers, and the students. You know what I mean? Like me being essential, I've been going out the entire time, but I was going out the entire time anyway. Mm-hmm. Now I have a different kind of stress while I'm out because, you know, worrying about the germs and this, that, and the things. But the germs was out there, for real. Mm-hmm. Keep it all the way 100, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of the things that we were being encouraged to do were things we should have been doing anyway. You know, especially in public settings.
Absolutely.
Reserving our space and, you know, keeping yourself clean and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really change my life as much as it changed the nature of the business. I think it changed you all's lives. So teacher and parent, you know, the kids ain't here, but let's talk about that a little bit. So let's go back to your experience around being a teacher. COVID hits, boom, virtual learning starts, boom. What's that like? Immediately shifting. Wait, before you answer that, let me say this though, because Riri said, what's for you is for you, commenting to you. Mm. What's for you is for you. She said, I've had that happen to me, and now I'm her supervisor. 6 years later, in a whole different office than when we started. Stay encouraged. Keep preparing yourself for what you deserve. It's coming.
That's what she said to you.
Yeah.
That's what she said to you.
Because when we walk away from something, we're walking into something.
Absolutely.
The moment we don't walk,
right,
we're just stagnant.
And that's a choice, you know what I'm saying. Whatever you do, make it your choice. You know what I'm saying? And that's what got to be important. So, all right, going back to it. Thank you, Riri, for tuning in, of course, and always commenting. But COVID hits, boom, virtual learning as a teacher. How's that feel and what does that look like? How's that change your life?
So it felt stressful.
Okay.
Because I'm not a tech person, getting on Zoom, I was like, oh my God, my Wi-Fi at home is some trash. It's going in and out, terrible and shit. The kids, all they gonna want to do is talk. I'm gonna have to mute all of them. I have to teach them what this is all about. The close proximity with kids was no longer.
Right.
They're getting on. They're not looking engaged.
Right.
It was a challenge. How am I supposed to teach relationship building and, you know, being a classroom community when we are apart? My environment, I'm in my bedroom now doing this. Right. I'm not in my classroom with all my materials. The environment is a big deal for me.
Right.
The environment is the third teacher, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, like,
Sometimes the first.
Right. I couldn't use my environment to be like, you know, pulling something off my wall. I felt like I was in a box.
Did you adapt the environment, though, at some point?
No, I stayed in my, I stayed in my room. There was no way for me, the way my environment in my classroom is, it was no way for me to bring that to my bedroom.
Gotcha.
excuse me. So it was just so stressful because I didn't know if I was doing it right. I didn't have a way of measuring
whether or not the kids were retaining.
Right. Is this great? Like, what am I doing? Like,
right.
So once I shed tears on the Zoom at the staff meeting.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was very mad at myself for doing that.
Of course you were.
Crying in front of these
And why
people.
Were you upset?
Because I like to be buttoned up and put together when I am around my staff sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't feel like everybody is worthy of knowing who Ebony really is.
Right.
So I felt like, Lord, I didn't cry in front of these people.
Right.
But they were sending me chats and, you know, whatever. But
hug emojis and shit.
Yeah. And they was just
sweet.
Being supportive.
Absolutely. But, absolutely. They were giving you what they thought you needed.
when the question was asked, they said, the question from our director was like, how's everybody doing?
Right.
And everybody else were like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine.
I'm not fine.
And I said, I am not fine.
I'm not
fine. I was like, how can we really measure and say that we're fine? Like, we are teaching these kids in our bedrooms, in our houses. These kids are not even coming to the Zoom.
And some of these kids, this is their first experience with school.
Mm-hmm. Yes, these kids are all four. Together. Mm-hmm. Like, the very last day of school on Zoom, it was our end of the, you know, end of the year. Mm-hmm. And the way that I ended the year was I had to hit the meet.
I remember that.
Hit the button that said.
That broke your heart so bad.
That broke my heart that said, leave meeting. That was the end of a
school.
That
was like the
year.
Icing for you, I feel like, coming out of that.
I just bawled. Because I said, this is not how you leave children.
Right.
You don't leave five-year-olds just by hitting a button and the screen
and everybody just
blank.
Disappearing. Yeah.
Like, that's not how you let kids know that you had a great year with right. them. That's not how you let kids know that, you know, you guys, we did it. Right. Like, leave meeting?
Yeah.
That broke my heart. Yeah. So, to go back into the building in July, I was like, yes. I was like, yes, it's COVID. Yes, but I'm going back into the building.
Right.
I wasn't too nervous, but I was ready.
Right.
I was ready to be with children. I was ready for kids to be together, learning with their teacher, their right. environment, mm-hmm. and each other.
Right.
And I think that is the importance of kids, especially 4 and 5 year olds, mm-hmm. being together.
Right.
They're learning from each other. They're yeah. learning in their environment. So. Right.
So curious and shit like that, and you need to be around people in order to explore.
Right. Yeah. Like, the shy ones were still shy. Right. You know? Or they regressed.
Right.
Because now you're on a screen of people, you looking, you don't know what to say, you're right. doing that. Like, it yeah. was...
Tough.
It was tough. It was tough.
All right, to the mom of the group, to the mom of the crew, COVID hits, boom. Kids no longer going to school, and now they sitting in your face. You no longer going to work, all that. So you are now teacher, parent, and office worker all at the same time. And what does that look like
First
for you?
First of all, I've always been a big supporter of teachers. Okay. Having my children, I was always... I'm
Shout
always
out to
the
all the teachers out there. Of
that,
course, we love them.
Absolutely. That you send me an email. I can be reached easily. Mm-hmm. I'm very much hands-on. Mm-hmm. However, I realized that teaching wasn't my calling. And having to maneuver through working from home, mm-hmm. and I actively take phone calls and such, mm-hmm. and I have a pre-K kid, so they need, if I hear, mm-hmm. where's your adult?
Yes.
Once a day, I hear it 44 times a day, and then I have a brand new middle schooler that's fresh into sixth grade, mm-hmm. and then I have, you know, a fourth grader. It's a lot happening.
And that's different, eight, like different... Stages, for sure. Middle school, fourth grade, pre-K?
There's so much that slipped through the cracks because how?
Yeah.
How?
You had three devices? Were they all on their own
device? Everybody was on their own device. Oh my God. The pre-K, they have tablets. They gave mm-hmm. them the tablets. The two other ones have laptops. So I need them to put on their headphones.
Yes.
Please put on your headphones mm-hmm. because... Her class, she can't have her headphones on.
Right.
I need to be able to hear yeah, uh-huh. because I have to actively participate in her class. You know, then the kids, as a worker who sits at a computer all day, that's hard. As a woman who went to college online for a time, that even the classes were broken up into spaces. You yeah. might have had a class on a Tuesday, maybe 2 hours, mm-hmm. and then you might have another one on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Sitting in front of those computers and those devices every single day, listening to the teachers, listening, it's honestly, I don't know how we made it through the year. I can't help you. I mean, everybody who knows me knows I don't math. By the time you get to fourth grade, you're on your own. I'm sorry. May the odds be up in your favor. I can't do it.
Like shit.
I can't. Yeah. So, you know, they're needing help. the little is needing help. It's like all of these things going on, and then the teachers are now getting frustrated because, like you said, y'all are not okay. It's not a good space. I have some teachers that was like, oh, well, your background is too noisy. Ma'am.
I'm at work.
All of us are in this living room.
Together, doing what we got to do.
I'm at work. Mm-hmm. They're in class. You're going to get what you're going to get. Mm-hmm.
And how was that for you? Just being on the other side of it, realistically.
Yeah.
Like, you got a kid who's at home, who probably has siblings, mm-hmm. and parents and a dog, mm-hmm. and the mailman and the doorbell and all these other things happening that nobody has control over. How disruptive was that in the being able to hold attention in the class?
So a lot of times my students, the siblings, came too.
To class.
To class.
My kids have done
to
that.
To preschool class.
Especially the siblings that you had before, the siblings, and they all actually know you, those siblings.
And I had to tell the siblings, okay, this is not your class. Let so-and-so answer, okay? Like, so that was what I experienced.
Right.
And, important conversations that parents were having in the background.
Like the things you were not supposed to hear.
Like the things we were not supposed to hear. Like the bills,
uh-huh.
and the doctor's stuff.
Golf.
And
yeah.
I would say to the kid, tell your dad I can hear him.
Right.
Go into another room, Dad. Sometimes I would say, so-and-so, we hear you,
uh-huh.
you know, in a fun way.
Right.
You know, that's a personal convo.
Right.
Go somewhere else, you know.
Yeah.
And they did.
But was
you know,
it frustrating?
They laughed.
Was it frustrating for you that you had to contend with that? Obviously, you dealt with it because you had no choice.
Yeah.
But was it frustrating?
Yeah. So the frustrating part was when the siblings came, because it made the kids that were in my class, like, now the attention is on
someone
the older
else.
Kid.
Yeah.
So then I started having the older kid come and be a mystery reader.
Right.
If you want to be here, you're going to read a book to us on Zoom.
Right.
Like, you're not going to answer a four-year-old's question,
right.
and you
are eight. Yeah. Correct.
So I would say that was the most frustrating part. It was good to see them, but when they stepped in and became a student, mm-hmm. too, I was like, okay, that's not going to work. As far as the background noise of parents, I didn't get that much. It was more...
And you had control over mute, so you could literally mute everybody if you
right,
wanted to.
Right, right, right.
When it kind of just got super,
right.
like,
and kids
out of,
were
out of...
very upset that I muted them. They would be very upset.
Well, yeah, you have the four-year-olds, so naturally they want to talk, they want to hear themselves.
Oh,
everybody wants to sing their rendition of The Wheels on the Bus.
I said, magic mute button.
Out of here.
When I saw this...
You knew
it. I said, they bad today. So then I had to say, okay, let me warn them before I mute
right.
them.
See, assess and adjust. Assess and adjust.
I said,
that's
okay,
it.
I'm going to mute you guys right now so you can hear all of my directions, all right? Give me a thumbs up. And I taught them how to use a reactions button.
Perfect.
Give me a thumbs up if you understand why I'm muting you. Thumbs up. Mute.
And that interaction and engagement is all that makes the difference, because now you got their focus.
And it was a positive.
Yeah.
And they learned
absolutely.
How to maneuver the
correct.
Like,
and that made them more excited because they knew how to do something new that you taught them. Mm-hmm. And every time you caused them to kind of practice that, you were just reinforcing that as a
children
positive
are resilient and highly adaptable.
Yes.
That I think that's been the
something
saving
adults
grace
are not.
Through all of this.
Something
yes,
adults
are
not. I feel like the adults struggle the most.
Absolutely.
The kids just, you know, they're like roots, you know, mm-hmm. they come up to something and they twist and they turn and they dig in and mm-hmm. they go over and they just figure that shit out.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess as adults we do that too. I just think it's harder for us to do because our expectations are so high
mm-hmm.
because of what we know and what mm-hmm. we've experienced.
Yeah.
The kids, on the other hand, they just...
They adjust.
They just do.
Here.
Yeah, they
here.
Just do.
And it's been a learning experience, this whole thing. They've taught me, you know, patience and resilience through all of this. And I learned a greater respect for them as little people and who they are, as well as the teachers.
What was the most frustrating part for you about the online school?
Keeping my children engaged.
Okay.
They just, it got to the space where they don't want to participate. So, you know, I'm, one minute I have a child that's sitting in a Zoom class, I blink and they're gone. Mm-hmm. And I can mm-hmm. see your class still running. Mm-hmm. And then the assignments, you know, turning those in, but you're not turning them in. You're just pressing the button that you turned it in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, of course, because of school max, I don't know you haven't done anything until the teacher can actually get to that space and see, mm-hmm. oh, there's nothing here. Mm-hmm. That got to be extremely frustrating just because it happened so much.
Yeah.
And then the Wednesdays where it's independent study and they have to have, you know, their work in by a certain time. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't happen, you get a phone call that your child has been absent from school. That drove me.
A child
me,
that you've seen that, sitting here that in I've class.
That I've seen sitting here
all day long.
All day.
You know what I'm saying? That's wild. That's crazy.
14, 15 absences later. And I'm like, this isn't working. There has right. to be a better way. Yeah. As resilient as the children are, as, you know, headstrong and as resilient as the teachers are, the faculty and the people who make the decisions, mm-hmm. what are y'all doing? Are y'all not listening to your people on the ground? Because mm-hmm. this isn't working.
Yeah.
So what was it like for the kids getting back into school? Do you think that helped any when it was time for them to go back to the
hybrid
schoolhouse?
Days helped a lot, especially with the little. She was extremely excited to finally get to see her friends in person. It definitely helped. The middle schooler, however, I think because he is considered to be older now and has been in school for a while, getting in the building for him wasn't exciting because he's done it. Mm-hmm. So with all things, if you have an easy way, you're going to take the easy way out. If you have to go into the building, you're going to be held accountable for that work that you were just pressing done on mm-hmm. and not turning in. So mm-hmm. naturally, he doesn't want to do it because mm-hmm. now you actually have to do what you're supposed to do. My other two are extremely social, so that it helped them tremendously. They were excited.
So then I wonder, though, if the kids go to school a couple of days a week, to your point, they're going to be held accountable to all the assignments, blah, blah, blah. Anything that they miss, why wouldn't that be, like, circled or checked off once they get to the school building so that there's not a whole bunch of stuff missed?
Your guess is as good as mine.
That just don't make sense to me. Once they show up, you know, you're out of school 3 days a week, and then you get to school 2 days a week. They're Monday through Wednesday or Wednesday. You said Wednesday was the day. So Wednesday's the day where all the stuff's supposed to be done. But you go in the building on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So on Thursday, hey, so-and-so, you know, all these things aren't done. Why is this not the place where we recoup all of that? Because
well,
we're in
mind,
the schoolhouse.
I wouldn't get a report saying that anything was missing until Friday, where it recaps the whole week.
Oh, that's wild.
So on Friday, I get something from the teacher that says, this is what we did this week. And then it has the assignments. And then it sends you your individual child's. And then next to it, if it's black, they did it. If not, it says missing in red. And that's the only way you can keep up with it.
Oh, man, that's tough. Now, did you actually have, like, kind of take-home stuff for your kids during that time where they were virtual? Did they have things they had to, you know, kind of bring back to the class? And how well do you feel like that?
Yeah, so because we were learning through play school, we had, like, boxes that we sent to every house.
Okay.
So if I was talking about symmetry or something, then everything that
they got.
So we don't really do paper pencil things. So I would send an email saying, today I need you to bring the red Solo cups, the popsicle sticks, and your dry erase board so that you can be ready for today's building challenge lesson.
Gotcha.
So okay. When they came, they should have had everything that was in that email. If they didn't, that means they didn't read the email or they didn't get it. And then I would go give them time to go get it. All right, go, you know, go get your building kit. We'll wait for you.
Okay.
So that's how you dealt with it. Yeah, that's how we dealt with it. So there wasn't anything that they had to bring in like an assignment.
Gotcha.
They just brought their materials that we were going to explore
in class at that time.
If there wasn't an assignment, like try to build a building with your cups that that is as tall as you. Send me a picture to let me know you did it.
Right.
So that is
the way
the assignment.
Gotcha.
Cause
and did you get a lot of engagement? I feel like preschoolers though want to participate because they want to do things.
They want their friends and they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a lot of engagement because we sent like, you know, packages home like, I would say, every couple of weeks, but we tried to use we tried to be creative and
who
not just
built
having
these packages.
So we
was it
did,
per class? Did you decide what was in your kit and whatever?
Right. So we were doing like we had butterflies. Remember, I had them butterflies and caterpillars in my the net in my room and stuff. So I had sent them the butterfly journal. I had sent them the things to talk about symmetry, how butterflies. So everything that they needed, we put together. And then it was dropped off to at their house. Like, we literally just driving our car around,
dropping
leaving the boxes
on their
step, saying, you know, we just left your box, or, you know, yeah.
That good old private
environment. So, good old private environment where you have autonomy in what you want to do, but you got to make it
work.
And
it's full-on responsibility. So, from a public standpoint, you feel like you got the resources and things you needed in order for the kids to do what they needed to do?
Surprisingly, yes. Okay. I can admit that the schools were pretty on top of it. When COVID first happened and they went out, they had that like 2-3 weeks of nothing where they didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the year was kind of just like a fill our way through it crapshoot. Nobody was really sure what was going on. They were struggling on the devices they gave me. At the time, I had both boys in elementary. And they gave me one device for both kids. And I'm like, so who's going to be on, like, they're in class at the same time? Mm-hmm. That following year, however, because they'd had a chance, they were very much so on top of it. Everybody had a device. Mm-hmm. They sent home their all of their school supplies. And then mid-year, they did another drop of everything that was needed, all of their books. They didn't send home the hard ones. They sent home books that technically doesn't have to come back. I guess because of COVID, that was their way of kind of eliminating any contamination or anything like that. But they did really good, especially the public school that they're at. It was surprising, but I didn't have any complaints in that aspect. They even had the lunch portion set up. Like, I didn't send my children, but I felt like it was really good for the kids who didn't have meals at home. They had certain times they could come by the school, and they gave them breakfast and lunch still. So it
was there a way for the kids that couldn't get by the school to get breakfast or lunch, or they just
they actually had a truck that rolled out. They had a almost like a Meals on Wheels type of thing that would go to certain neighborhoods,
like,
and then they could
like
come to that space.
Oh, that's cool. See, so they tried. Y'all excited about going back and being fully out? Like, is that the plan for next year, that the COVID now is, you know, all of these CDC regulations and limited seating and blah, blah, blah. Are you guys going back to full scope schooling in the next year, or are you still, is COVID still kind of a thing in the classroom for how you got to operate for next year?
So full scope,
like,
what you mean?
If you had 15 kids before, you got 15 now, or are you still at 8 or 7 or 6 or whatever the limit
right.
is now?
So we've been full scope since June of last. I'm sorry.
Oh,
so you guys
have had the same. You've had the same number of kids you could have had before COVID. The room just had to be set up so that they were separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like before COVID, I had an enrollment of 9.
Okay, and you had 8 basically. Mm-hmm. Not always all at the same time, but you had 8. All in your business. I'm sorry.
I had 8. No,
that's
I
what
had
happens
students.
When you're my fucking cousin.
That's it.
And I talk to you all the time.
And it's all good. That's what we do.
That's it.
No, but we've been this, like, it's just the same as before COVID. It's just the partitions and all of the COVID regulations, masks, all of that, 6 feet. We've been the same.
And so for you, the kids are going back.
They're going back. But I don't know what the plan is. It's because first of all, we haven't even been allowed in the school, so I don't know what it looks like on the inside as far as the desk, how they have it set up, the separation, any of that. We have no clue. We just know that they're following CDC guidelines, and that's all.
Well, at least trust that they are
right.
Because kids are.
Well, we saw the way they broke down when my son decided he was going to tell the school that he...
You had a whole moment. Had a whole ass moment. I was just about to ask, was there any, like, you know, scares and stuff like that, that from, like, stories that may be funny now that weren't funny then?
Yeah, it wasn't funny then.
And going through those emotions. But, yeah, they were not playing.
They were not. I've never had the CDC ever call me before in my life. And they called me twice. They were really on top of it.
Yeah.
And then going back to the school. And, again, I still could not go inside. But they literally walked my children out like criminals. And one was on the playground. And they had to go in and go and get his stuff. They were like, we can't let you back in. So
it was a serious thing.
It was very serious.
Federal offense.
I mean, did you sign the waiver, ma'am, that said you would not send your children to school sick? Yes, I signed it. I also didn't send my children to school sick. But my son is in the nurse's office.
Talking about he got a fever.
He
had a list. He had checked all three,
he had
four
all
things.
All the things that.
And then told them, well, she's taking my brother to get tested. So now they're like, so wait a minute. You sent him to school sick and you're taking one to get tested. I'm like, ma'am, for his asthma. In adult conversations. Now I'm looking crazy in these streets. Like. But they were, you got to give it to them, as annoying as it was, as angry and upset as I was, they were on top of it.
I'm glad that they got kept safe.
They were on top of it.
Yeah. I would say, because we're a private parent-governed preschool, the parents were on top of everything. They did not bring their kid in if their kid had a cough.
Yeah.
Like, the kid had a low-grade fever, not bringing them in. Like,
and as they should not.
They were very diligent. They went away for a weekend. They didn't stay at a family home. They stayed in a hotel. They did not come to school for 14 days.
Regardless.
Yeah. They were very, very.
Now,
like,
did you have a virtual element once the kids were back in school? Or if the kids weren't in school, they just weren't in school?
So I wanted to have a virtual element, but I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's just too much work. They weren't in school. They just were not in school.
Gotcha.
And it was just, you know, like 14 days here and there. It wasn't like months they were out. I just was like, I'm not going to stress myself.
Gotcha.
Like, they're not here. It's okay. They're just missing being with friends.
Right.
As long as you're reading at home, writing your name, you know, finding ways to teach, you know, one-to-one correspondence. Maybe you're setting the table for the family. That's one-to-one correspondence. I get a fork, you get a fork. Like,
right.
Like, just
making things practical.
Was
there anything you felt like you wish you had more of in this environment that you didn't have?
Anything I wish I had more of.
And looking back, like, if you were going into it all over again with what you know now, what's something you wish you had more of in order to make it easier or better or more engaging, whatever it is?
Patience.
Good one.
Like,
good one.
I had all the materials that I needed. Like, we didn't lack
in anything.
That at all. Uh-huh. If I needed it, I can get it. Like, the director bought it, or I would buy it, and it would be reimbursed.
Yeah.
I think that I began to just really take everything in and patience. Like, some days I would be like, okay, Ebony, like, these kids are dealing with a pandemic. They don't quite get it.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that enough. I didn't self-talk enough. I didn't give myself grace enough. I didn't give them grace enough.
Yeah.
So I would say the patience part, stopping and slowing down.
Yeah.
I think that I'm really going to do that starting tomorrow when I go back.
Yeah, exciting. Starting you get back in the classroom just, all over again.
Yeah, just slowing down.
And by choice, so, you know, you really down. Love that shit when, you, when you're going back and you don't have to.
Yeah.
What about you? Looking back, your older self, looking at your younger self at the beginning of COVID, what could you say now that you would look back and give to yourself a little more of to kind of push through that experience?
Oh, definitely patience. God, I patience would give myself patience in spades. Patience
for the win.
Absolutely. But not necessarily a roadmap, but a little bit more resources for myself.
Okay.
To navigate what that's going to look like.
Okay.
Just because there were so many paths and, you know, avenues and things that were happening, it would have been nice to have some sort of blueprint.
Right.
So I would definitely, patience gonna be at the top, but that's right. gonna be next in line just yeah. because that particular resource would help not only me, but my whole household tremendously.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. It's interesting because we ended our last show kind of talking about kids in the classroom and mm-hmm. what Eddie thought that parents should kind of prepare their kids with during the summer. And I remember he said being engaged and aware, right, to get them from here to there. Because do you really feel like they learned what they needed? Not enough, because, I mean, you taught them what you could teach them, right? But do you feel like they got enough in this time frame that really prepares them to go to the next? Because you send them off to a new school. Mm-hmm. They come from you to now they're going to kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like in this experience they all walk away prepared based off of what they had to encounter in this time?
If they had stayed virtual, mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Okay.
But because, so this group that was in person the entire year, mm-hmm. I felt like they got everything they needed.
Because they got you as you. They had just me. With a couple different mm-hmm. adjustments, but yeah. you as you.
Like, the things that they needed, problem solving.
I keep forgetting that planning. This was like a year and a half.
Yeah.
It wasn't just this school year. It was a this part was a
full school year.
Of a school yeah, year, right. a summer, and a school
so
year.
I have
so,
like,
wow, this yeah. was long.
Some time.
So yeah, I this have was two long. Sets of kids that I can speak on. This. Yeah, yeah and impacted differently. Yeah. You know what I'm right. saying? The right. ones that ended in the, you know, virtually.
In 20.
Yeah.
Like, their school year ended in 20.
Yeah, I don't think they got
what they needed.
Everything.
Yeah.
Because from March to June, that's where the meat happens.
Yeah.
That's where you really get to dig yeah. in to get them kindergarten right. ready.
And really like assessing what it is that they've taken on so far and,
yeah.
you know, reinforcing those things and bringing it all together. You yeah. know what I'm saying? And I missed that moment. I mean, I just remember even the older kids, you know, going through graduations and
oh,
proms
my God,
and this
that broke
and that
my heart.
And how much...
The
they
best
missed,
part
you know?
Of high school that
yeah.
you
the
you
thing you
wait
worked
for,
yeah,
you,
you
broke
waited
up
and worked
to
for, yeah.
was gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
gone.
It was gone. Yeah. Virtual so, proms and virtual like that.
Weird.
Like, who
weird.
Wants to
weird.
Participate?
Weird.
But I'm not logging on to a Zoom in my good dress.
and right. And do what? Stand there?
Cap like, and gown, all that stuff. That's not gonna be a thing.
No.
Mm-mm. Wah,
wah. So do you feel like it? You feel like they got what they needed? Like going to being ready to go. So you, cause, and I'm going to ask, just, I'm going to ask specifically about your youngest because you guys are speaking from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-K, right? That's what you consider, pre-K?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pre-K to pre-K.
So
do you feel like your pre-K-er?
My pre-K-er got what she needed just because she is a bit of a unique situation. She was in private preschool pre-COVID because her birthday is late.
Okay.
The goal moving into the elementary school was to do her testing and get her pushed into kinder so she wouldn't have to wait that basic, you know, be a year behind, mm-hmm. basically. that didn't happen because those type of tests have to take place in person.
Right.
And they couldn't allow anybody in the building. So that didn't happen. I think she lost something just because a lot of that was repeat for her. And she was gung-ho to answer questions in the beginning, but the teachers were very much so, well, can we let our other friends answer? And then it got to the point where they would just ignore her altogether. So she disengaged from, she didn't want to answer anymore. So she, now she's, you know, playing with her fingers, running around after the dog. I'm like, please get in class, girl. Like, that became our song.
Two turn.
That became our song. But towards the end of the year, they tried to, especially with them going back in the building, they tried to start, you know, getting them prepared. Luckily, the type of parent I am, I'm very hands-on. So London would get a lot in the home. Mm-hmm. It was a repeat for her. So while I don't think she could have gotten all that she could, she still is prepared just because
she had to do it twice, basically.
So. And the first time Lucky she did her. It. Was in school.
Because I was really concerned about the kids who were starting school for the first time, and this was their school experience. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like daycare. You know what I mean? I mean like pre-K or whatever it is. Like, this is your first school experience. You don't know anything about the building other than what you maybe seen an older sibling do or mm-hmm. something like that.
That was her.
But this is what school looks like to you for the very first time ever, and this is all you know about it.
She was heartbroken because, number one, you telling me I'm going to big girl school, but I'm not getting on a school bus. Mm-hmm. So she was heartbroken that she couldn't get on the school bus, and then she could see her friends right there on the computer screen. One lives two doors down from us, mm-hmm. but there was no real engagement.
Yeah.
And because she came from a place where that's what she was used to, mm-hmm. that confused her a good month and a half before she finally got what was happening.
Yeah.
Like, it was the constant, coronavirus. So
mm-hmm. So two more questions going, one kind of coming from that. So socially, how do you feel like this has impacted? Because I feel like the social aspect of school, even though you got the academics and all of that, and that's very important, I think that the social part of school is the jail that holds all the rest together. It teaches you how to interact with mm-hmm. other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It teaches you how to listen and, you know, talk and order and structure and all these other things. It teaches you how to make friends or not. Well, you know what I mean? So what do you feel like from a social standpoint, the impact that this has had on the kids you had specifically?
Yeah, so being...
I really feel like I'm an interviewer today. I feel like I'm doing the things.
Doing the things today.
Yes.
Being a, you know, learning through play school, mm-hmm. that is our focus.
Right.
You know, their social and emotional development.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that not being with kids, mm-hmm. you know, like kids not being with kids, that was a bummer mm-hmm. for them, because how can you build relationships mm-hmm. on a screen?
Right.
How can you solve a problem on a screen? So I think back to the group that started in person with mm-hmm. me, they got it.
They got what they needed.
They got, you know, there was no lack socially.
Yeah,
like, when they came and I showed them where to put their face coverings when they're eating, like the routines, they got it.
Yeah.
They got it.
Yeah. I wish all kids could go to your class, actually.
I wish the teacher for every kid in this world would be a better place.
Because I think it's probably second to none. Like, the experience that I've been seeing those kids
I
be having.
Very well.
And the way you put the plans. Just even when I listen to you, like, what your work plans are and how creative they are and the ways. I mean, just in talking about what we was talking about on the way here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And what you guys are about to do this week. It's just like, who puts in that kind of constant, consistent, committed dedication to making sure these kids learn more than just what they would learn on average? I feel like you go above, you know, the average numbers, colors, you know, that just that basic ass generic shit that kids get. you know what I'm saying, in this stage in their life. You know what I mean? Like, to know that kids understand, like, skin tones and, you know, shit like that.
I love that.
Inclusion and diversity and all these things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Which, like, is a beautiful thing. Like, you're talking about passports,
and instead of, like I said earlier, instead of Europe, which is what people think of, they think about Paris and this and that. You know what I mean? And you're talking about West African, you know, countries and shit like that.
Beautiful.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of teachers out there, but you are my teacher's teacher. So,
thank you.
Yeah, of course.
So. It's always the teachers that love what they do that make the difference.
And I'm glad that you just show up.
That, you know, it's easy. It was easy to get out of college for. It's gonna be an okay paycheck. They never make the difference or are as impactful as the teachers who absolutely love teaching.
And I'm glad that you haven't lost that, because I know that there's a lot of teachers that come out like you, and they start out strong like that, and they have that desire and ambition, and they want to be the change and do all these things. Mm-hmm. But then they get bogged down and wore out and stuff like that, and before you know it, it becomes what you just said, even though that's not the way it began. So shout out to the E-Days of the world. So, and then to you, socially, do you feel like, from that aspect, all, any of the three, all or just one, do you feel like they got, how do you feel like it impacted them from a social standpoint?
Oh, my two social butterflies, it hit hard.
Okay.
Because they are social. You know, Lando is very much so introverted and socially awkward, so he has a really hard time making friends. Mm-hmm. So for him, he could have, you know, take it or leave it. But, he tries. Yeah. So going into school at least gives him a pool to try from. The other two are very much so into their friends, and everybody is their friend, and they love people, and they love talking, and they love, you know, connecting. And that hit them hard because there was none of that. Like I say, it was hard on Lund because little baby girl is two doors down. And she couldn't even at one point go and knock on the door play. Mm-hmm. You know, they would see each other and they're like, you know, this girl's in my class. They're 4 and 5. They want to play, especially a familiar face. But going back into the building helped a lot with that, which is a great thing. And hopefully it'll just continue.
Yeah, and we tried to make things as creative as possible. Like, so we would have sometimes bring your favorite snack, you know, where we would just sit and talk, and it wouldn't be like I'm doing all the talking. Okay, today you need this. No, sometimes it was bring your favorite toy. You're going to talk about your toy today. We're going to ask questions.
Oh, that's cool.
Or I would say, okay.
Ebony don't play. Like, I'm telling you.
Or I would say, okay, we're going to do small groups today. So group A will be 3 kids, and it was just me and those 3. All right, Tuesday will be group B. Be me and like another.
Now her teacher does do that. She named them after historically black colleges.
Oh, nice.
She gave them the ones as the bisons and the other one of the bears.
Love it.
And she breaks them into the 2 groups, and then that way they get more individualized attention, which was really good because the kids who were a bit more higher on the level as far as learning and stuff was concerned, they got that, and they weren't sitting there twiddling their thumbs or running after the dog. Mm-hmm. And then the babies who needed a little bit more, they were able to. So that creativity, I'm glad that that's being implemented.
Yeah, because they need that, like, speaking and listening skills for sure, and that is how they got it. Okay. Yeah. Bring your favorite toy.
Yeah.
Or I would say, okay, on the count of 3, go find something red. Go. They want to, you know.
Right. Oh, wow. But it makes them feel included part of it.
They
were
loving it. It's like, go find something square. I was just making up stuff.
Right.
Because at some point, I had nothing.
They're learning. And yet you had everything you needed. And
class started at 9 o'clock. Lots of times, it was 8:45. I was... Oh, Lord. Had coffee. Hi, y'all. It's Ebony.
That's funny.
Ooh, I woke up late, guys. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah.
So, all right, last question. So, you said that you wish you had had more grace for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm not going to call it like forgiveness letter, but a statement to yourself from the perspective of having gone through this experience, feeling like you didn't give yourself enough grace or have enough patience. What is the one thing you tell yourself now that you get this give back to yourself from having had an experience, like having to be resilient in something like this and go through it? Because there's some shit that none of us expected. Nobody really could prepare for, you know what I mean? And yet we've done it, survived it. What's that one thing you kind of tell yourself to give yourself something back for all you went through? Mm-hmm.
I started saying to myself just, I would say, the last week of this school year.
Yeah.
Ebony, slow down and breathe.
Okay.
When I'm tense, I'm like this.
Right.
Shoulders up here, moving fast.
Right. Doing a whole bunch of nothing at all.
Ebony, slow down.
Uh-huh.
And breathe.
Yeah. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Look at you. You did it.
Right. You see how it changes your posture, changes your perspective, changes your passion.
Yeah.
Changes you.
Look at the self-regulation. Self-regulation. That's it. On 1,000.
And that is a skill. It's an art.
Yeah.
Like,
you got to learn that.
You got to learn that. Uh-huh. Even children have to learn how to self-regulate. Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because we had a, I had an incident when we were eating the crabs. And I got that damn shit in my eye, and immediately I was in a panic. And then by the time I got to the sink, I kind of had to just tell myself, like, wait a minute. Relax. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I stood there, eye burning still, you know what I'm saying? But I had to really, like, bring myself down to breaths. And get myself together so that I could take care of myself. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, I probably would have been drowning in a sink, you know, under a faucet.
Standing.
Standing there under a sink, drowning, about to die, just because I just completely let myself go in a moment of panic. So.
And it's good to have people around you to help support.
Absolutely.
That.
100%.
Like, 100%. My supervisor, the director of the school, phenomenal.
Yeah.
She would leave notes where she has come in and she sees something great that you've done or, you know, and make a comment about it, encouragement. She'll see that maybe your shoulders were up here and all. She helped me with the breathe part.
Yeah.
She just wrote, breathe, Ebony.
Yeah.
Like, you are here every day doing it.
Yeah.
Like.
And getting through it.
Pause. Like she kept saying, pause. Just, take a pause.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. Tap. Take a pause. Like, just relax.
Something so simple but so impactful at the same time.
At the same time.
So then I incorporated that with my kids. We had community circle.
Right.
We're going to all take a breath.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to all say how we feel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
we
perfect.
Held hands. When the person beside you squeezes your hand, that's your cue to tell us how you feel. These jokers was squeezing hands
and
saying,
feeling.
I feel blessed.
Yeah, okay, look at them.
I feel strong.
Yeah, look at them.
I feel like a tree. Yeah. I said, yes, standing firm, like helping
rooted,
them,
grounded.
Helping them with saying what they're trying to say. I feel like the cloud. I said, oh, you feel light.
Right.
Look at these
and making
babies.
That make sense.
I love what I do.
I love what you do, too.
Look at that.
I can't say it enough.
Oof.
I can't say it enough. I'm telling you, I wish I could clone you. That's for sure. All right, your turn. You had the question when she got it, so hopefully you were thinking. Same question. What's your thing you give to yourself, give yourself back?
For me, it would be especially around the grace, telling myself, they are okay. You are not a bad parent. They are not bad children. You all are navigating through a bad situation.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good close.
Biggest thing I can give myself is that.
Yeah, it had to be tough. It had to be tough on both of y'all. I'm actually glad that I got to sit through and y'all got to talk to each other about it. Because you don't always
especially
get to see the other side. Yeah, you
right.
always don't get to see the other side. And you guys are literally on opposite ends of it. So maybe a greater appreciation for each other's experience, or even, you know, the teachers or parents that you dealt with, you know, in your your environment. So good stuff. All right, so we're gonna close this show with our affirmation, as we always do. Ede about to take it low, get us all.
Before, is there anybody
you talking? Let's see. Anything? Let's see.
I feel like we just, we were just communing. We were.
Yeah, no. The last thing I was Riri. Everybody else had just joined and was watching. So.
Okay. All right. We'll end with our affirmation.
We're gonna we out this time, or you gonna eye out?
I'll eye out today.
Okay. Let's eye out today.
I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here. I am whole.
I am here and I am whole. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Communion today. Thank you, Ede, as always, for being on the show. Thank you for Pioneer for stepping in.
Thank you for having me.
The absence of Retta and Ayana. And I guess we will see you all next Sunday. I got a feeling we about to just keep running in the silence. Here come my man to turn us up. Let's get the bars. Back to the bars. You know what I'm saying? Get back to the bars. We should make him rap. I feel like he got bars.
Hidden bars.
I feel like he got bars and jewels. That was a good show, guys.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Very mellow, cool. Yo. Yeah. That's my favorite part.